Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and you are listening to This Life
with Bob Forrest
and Dr. Drew.
Here we are.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gather around the iPhone, get that Android, get the iPad, and get ready for Dr. Drew's This Life with Bob and Bruce.
Hey,
that's
guys.
A new intro.
That's right. It's a new intro. It's cool. Bob, welcome. Bruce,
old time radio. Hey, Orson Welles type.
Thank you for joining us, Bruce, as well.
Great to
Dr.
be here.
Bruce Heischober. So, Bob, we have a very special guest.
One of my favorite human beings.
Go ahead.
Heidi Fleiss is here online with us.
Hey, Heidi.
Hi, guys.
Oh. Hi.
How are you, kid?
Well, the truth is, I do struggle with my addiction. And I've watched, I don't know, I'm sure you watch Montana Meth and Sheila Nevin's Meth Storm and all that. I do watch those things to horrify myself, but it hasn't happened all the way yet. And then a few months ago, I realized I really don't need to do drugs anymore. I finally have money. I have this and this. And I started to make them some changes to get them out of my life forever.
Cool.
And
awesome.
I ran into one roadblock to overcome, and then I'll be all right.
What is motivating you? Why the change of heart?
Well, I think before I was kind of stressed over money and my future and handling the stress. Drugs is a coping mechanism where you don't have to think about it or stress about it.
Uh-huh.
Anxiety.
And yeah, because I try to analyze it. Like, why do I do drugs? It's a coping mechanism. Why? How come I won't drink alcohol, smoke a cigarette? How come I only eat organic? How come I do all this other weird stuff? But the drug thing is just, I do think about it. And I'm open about my addiction issues because I want people to know I have a problem. So if my behavior is weird, it's probably why.
Yeah,
I always had this fantasy. I've told you this before, Heidi, that you're going to go get like a professional degree or something, or a veterinary degree or training or something. I still, every time I talk to you, I still, that fantasy comes to mind for me. Are you thinking about that?
You know, when you told me that, I wish I took it seriously because I'd be a doctor right now.
Yeah, yeah, you would be. That's right.
I would.
But guess what? We'll talk 4 years from now, and we could say the same thing. That's
her
right.
Dad's a doctor.
It's not too
her
late.
Dad was a doctor.
Yeah. But what I'm doing, Drew, it's a higher calling. And I know Martin Luther King was a doctor. And people like Cesar Chavez, Susan B. Anthony. Do you remember maybe 25 years ago, I think the girl's name was Jennifer Butterfly Hill. And she sat up in a tree.
A tree. I met that girl.
Wow. Okay.
Uh-oh.
We're getting an internet problem.
Challenges and an injustice. I'm sorry, your technical difficulties?
Yeah, technical difficulties. So okay. the girl that lived up
okay,
in the tree
in
to
the
save
tree.
It,
okay.
Right.
She was a teenager. Her name was Butterfly. So she sat up in an old oak tree, and she stopped, you know, a huge corporation of logging people, and she saved the forest. And I always thought about that, to be at her age, 14, 15, and sit up in a tree 2 years. That's hardcore, and that's admirable, and that really stood out in my mind when I heard about it, even though I was a teenager. And what I'm doing is the same kind of journey. It's something that is not popular. If someone told me, Heidi, you know, your friend, whatever, they're saving captive macaws right now, I'd be like, what a kook. What a weirdo. Like, you know, it sounds so bizarre. Like, how high are they? Or did they fry their brain? Or, you know, it just sounds so weird. But it's a problem. And
you want to know my take, Heidi? I've known you a long time. You want to know my take on why it is? You are truly a compassionate person. I know most people don't know you. They just know what they read in the papers or know about you in the situation you were in. I know you, and you have as much compassion and empathy as I do, but you have contempt for humanity.
I do.
And that's a bad combo.
It's toxic waste.
It's a bad combo.
I think humanity's toxic waste.
It's not. There's goodness everywhere.
I think the planet can't sustain the population. I think that, you know, I think that there's nothing humanity contributes the planet benefits by except for destruction.
You prove my point. So, Drew, add that up for us.
Yeah.
And she's now found something to put her compassion towards, which are the birds.
No, I haven't found it. Bob, I don't want – these birds are so horrible. It's not glamorous. It's not fun. They're annoying. It's so hard.
They are scary sometimes.
I cannot go on with my life and not – someone has to try and change this.
But we were at this point 5 years ago.
Well, change what?
They can't – you can't take these birds and put them in cages and they live 80 years. You can't do it.
Yeah.
You just can't do it.
And so they're flying around your property now, right? They're all getting out. I saw a video.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They fly all around. But
did you know that
most
too?
Of them are – it's kind of like when you take kids in a weird orphanage, how they don't grow up with the bonding and the love and the proper parenting, how they have a higher chance of being incarcerated and addiction and whatnot. Most birds are the ones that fly around and they're easy. Those are ones that are the next generation that were born here. So I'm really fighting for the next generation of parrots, but I still want to free all the ones. Ultimately, if I can accomplish this in every state, have one place where the birds can live free.
Well,
just one spot.
Heidi, Bob and I, we don't feel humanity is a waste, and we're sort of fighting the same fight.
Actually,
yeah, but we're doing it on behalf of people. and is that relatable?
But I'm,
you know what I say? See my shirt? It says you live in the cage. Can you see that?
Yeah.
See, but cages are for people, not for the birds.
I would argue that both don't need it.
In a society that's so divisive and so hateful, what do you do with your compassion towards others? You can focus on children like I have been. I just want to help children and be around kids.
But why would I? A lot of people do that. No one helps these birds. These birds need they need help. What I encounter it's so painful.
Well, I'm scared you're going to get so famous with it that every person who wants to dump a bird dumps them on you.
Sure. Well, hopefully one day I'll have a setup where that would be okay.
How many have you got now?
Well, that's kind of irrelevant because one is too many.
You had like 30 when I was out there. How many you got now?
About the same number.
Oh, okay.
But it's irrelevant because there's so many that need help. I work with rescues, obviously. Last week I was telling his wife, I had to drive to some weird place like past Bakersfield, past Lake Isabella. And it was like a weird, like a hunting cabin. And this woman had like a concrete bunker garage with two macaws separated and cages with padlocks on it. And one was going blind from only being fed sunflower seeds. And the other one was crippled. And it was so painful for me to see. And not only that, they loved each other and they were caged apart with padlocks. And to see that people, they're just birds. Their feelings shouldn't be dismissed because they're just as strong as yours and mine.
Well, you know that people have been saying they're just dolphins, they're just birds, they're just killer whales.
Yeah.
And
there's going to be a price to pay for all this in the end. There's going to be a high price to pay because when people bring up the dolphins and the whales, I say, I'm about the captive macaw, and I'm not trying to rescue the species at all. And I'm not trying to reintroduce them to the wild. No. The ones that are languishing, in detached structures and these void lives stripped of all their dignity are the ones that I'm trying to change.
What do you think it is about this particular species that attracts you the way it does? It's play.
I think probably because I hated the cage. At first, I thought it had to do with my prison, Drew. And then I realized it has to do with my mind. That the thought of living my whole life in one spot would be so awful, Drew. Imagine if you lived your whole life just in one spot.
There are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Americans living in prisons for the rest of their lives.
Do the drugs lock you in or let you free? I mean, I'm trying to figure out.
Okay, when I was 19, I lived outside of Geneva in France in a chateau, maybe a 14th century chateau. And there was a little village called Seyssel where a river ran through the little town. And it was one of those cool, like old stone village, but it was generation after generation after generation lived there. And I thought, how come no one built a rowboat or a raft and just went down the river? How come they just know they're going to break? She's out the side.
She wants to go
outside. What answer
the bird wants to go outside.
What answer did you imagine?
I think that, and I thought, like, how come they wouldn't build a raft or just go and leave the village? Leave the village.
What'd you conclude?
That some people have that mind to leave the village and some people don't.
Okay. And what are you?
I couldn't stay in that village knowing there's the whole world out there.
But it's strange to me that you ended up in a desert.
You know, that is just, you know, I could change that at any time now, but that's only because it was for the sex business, because it's legal here.
I see. Okay. It's not about the desert.
I was too high to realize to buy a property in Los Angeles, so I spent $500,000 on some property here back then. And I made a lot of money from Bitcoin right now.
From Bitcoin?
The Bitcoin? Yeah.
You did.
Get out.
Yeah. Get out.
Yeah. I did. I bought in at 600.
Oh, my
600
God.
Bucks?
Jesus.
Yeah, and to save myself, it's the smartest thing and stupidest thing in one. This is what I did. I bought in at 600. I don't know what made me research it and do it. And then, because I was concerned about my future. And also, because of my addiction, gambling, and my soft heartness, what I'm doing with the birds, I had to put the money away from me. So a friend in New York, I've known 20 years, of course. But I didn't know the account was going to go to over $4 million in 10 months. And so I have some issues with her, but that'll be worked out legally.
So let me ask you this. One of the questions my father-in-law asked the other day, and I didn't have the answer to, what do you buy Bitcoins with? American dollars?
Okay,
Chinese yen? How do you get in? Does anybody
know? I'm going to explain really easy Bitcoin. Okay, don't think of it as a currency. Think of it as a software like iOS, like Android, or Microsoft. Like when you buy Microsoft, every time you buy it's already built in the computer and you're already paying for it. So that's how you're buying Microsoft. When you buy Bitcoin, it's the easiest way. I'm going to send you some by email, Bob, Andrew.
Okay.
On Coinbase, when you register, you link your bank account and you can buy and sell it the way you want.
Do you know about it, Drew?
What's that?
My son does a little bit.
Does he?
Yeah.
And
so
this is what's interesting about the cryptocurrency. Our whole system's going to change. Wall Street and all that stuff, it's old technology. It's archaic. People are based on profit and losses, quarterly earnings. If you're on the blockchain, there's books. You can't cook the books. You can't have those crooked books that, you know, that documentary. Did you see it on Herbal Life?
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys watch it at all here?
I didn't. I'm familiar with it,
though. Okay, yes. Okay, well, Herbalife, you're aware it's a fraud, right? It's not a real product. It's a pyramid scheme. Herbalife is based on getting...
So
yeah,
many people are involved in the pyramid scheme. Well, I see all the bumper stickers.
That's why it's going under right now, because there's not enough people on the planet to sustain it. It's based on getting your family and friends to sell more Herbalife. That's how you make money on Herbalife. It's not some product that it's like it's something you would buy at the dollar store. It's like sugar and some fake stuff. You know, there's nothing beneficial in Herbalife.
Really?
It's like
I thought it was like a whole food you could eat. Bruce, you want to chime in? Are you on Herbalife?
No, I know about Bitcoin, Mike.
Oh, you do?
I bought some Bitcoin before.
Oh, you did?
Okay, you bought the Bitcoin. So you know about Bitcoin. Well, so people say, oh, Bitcoin's a fraud, a pyramid scheme. No, it's not a pyramid scheme, because that's Herbalife, multi-level marketing. It's based on bringing your family and friends in to make more money. And then if it was, a Ponzi scheme, that's borrowing from MasterCard to pay Visa, you know, like Bernie Madoff. You know, he borrowed from one investor to pay the other. Bitcoin is exactly what it says it is. It's a blockchain technology.
I would just say the one thing I would say is that I showed this article to my son about Sir Isaac Newton, who bought into the South Sea organization, the South Sea bubble, the South Sea company. He bought into it and made a ton of money and then got out and was very happy. But his friend stayed in and made a lot more money. So he got back in and made a lot more money and then lost everything. Right. Sir Isaac
Newton. Okay, but this isn't a bubble.
Sir Isaac Newton.
This is not a bubble, Drew.
I understand.
But let's talk about meth. So I knew Heidi before the meth. I knew Heidi before the meth.
Bitcoin,
this is not because of meth. This is how she is.
No, I know it's Heidi. What's the hustle?
Before meth, one thing. Okay, since Bitcoin's inception, every year it's beat out every other investment, real estate, gold, anything else. It's beat it out except for one year when Mt. Gox went under, and
I would argue that tulips did as well in 1642.
No. But this is a real technology. The blockchain technology is being implemented.
Okay, I know.
Blockchain.
I understand. Yeah.
I think the issue with it is if
the scalability.
It's going to be right, but it's going to be regulated. The SEC wants to regulate it as a security because it represents more of a security than a currency. Yeah. And if they do that, then there are tax issues.
Yeah. So what? Pay the taxes. Who cares? Pay your taxes. Who cares, right?
Well, and the SEC gets involved. I think it becomes a lot more complex. But that's – I don't think it's going to go away.
But Heidi could be out by then. So, yeah. In event. So
anyways, what you got to understand is everybody's going to be seeing this about the birds and about the Bitcoin and Bernie Madoff and Herbalife and think it's meth. No, this is how Heidi is, and I think she needs to embrace who she is and stop the drugs and just be Heidi. What is wrong with that, Heidi?
I would argue because that her disdain for humanity – creates a hole and the birds don't fill it.
You need
there's
people.
Pain. There's pain. It's because I'm like, when I see those, picked up those birds and the pain of seeing these two birds that loved each other that were padlocked 3 feet apart. One was fed, deprived of natural sunlight till it went blind and fed only sunflower seeds till it went blind. It just, that someone, here you are, Drew, you and your wife, and Bob, you guys, you're going to fancy dinners, you're buying fancy cars, and you're fancy stuff, and these two birds are sitting in a dungeon, just they're hurting.
But they had you, but they had you, but here's the thing, and there's human beings that are living in dungeons and all this kind of stuff, and we're trying, you try to do what you can where you are with what you've got, and you rescued them. That's the beauty of the world.
Oh, this makes it worse. Someone captured these from the wild, I don't know, 50 years ago to make money. All that's right. The part
but
that
if
makes
you,
me sick.
If humanity is such a waste, what about your contribution to those birds?
Yeah, it's valuable. It has value. I think about it a lot. You remember when I was out there with you and I went to a thrift store near your house and I bought a chest of drawers. I still have it. It's in my bedroom. Every time
we went to that place.
Every time I look at it, I think of Heidi's out there with those birds and she's fighting the good fight. There's something that enriches us all that you're fighting the good fight for the birds and I'm fighting the good fight for the drug addicts. And
But I think Heidi needs – I think you need people more than you think, Heidi.
She doesn't have a lot of good people around her.
I was in Malibu on PCH, maybe a $50 million house this guy has. He had his blue and gold macaw. The bird was tethered down. And the rescue that I worked with, someone contacted it. I went over to his – drove from Nevada to his house. And he knew I was. Hi, I'm very friendly. Because it's best for me to educate the owner and teach him a different way.
Sure.
I said, can I see your bird? And he brought me down. And I'm not kidding. Their enclosure was like a $35 homemade, gnarly chicken wire, ugliest thing out by. And here he is living in this mansion. And I started to cry, but I knew I had to hold it in or him and his wife were going to say, get off my property because I'm judging them. So I held it in the best that I could to explain to him about tying him down. Then I told him that... They said, well, do you know someone who will buy the birds? And look, I can't buy everyone's bird. That won't help. I said, well, if you want them to have a good home forever, I can do that. Or I will pay for you to build a proper aviary or big cages and toys. Anyways, and besides that, I made up a flyer that said, abuse macaws with his home address and showed the picture of the bird being tethered.
Oh boy,
that's the old school Heidi right there.
That immediately brought on his whole legal team, everything. And to the rescue that I work with, they said, "Well, Heidi's doesn't, you know, she's not part of this rescue. We know her, but she's, you know, but look, make me wrong. I want the guy to. I want to be a liar. I want to be wrong. Fix it. Don't tie him down. Give them a good place. I want to be wrong in this situation. But
well, why are they so popular? I don't. So they cost a lot of money, right? They cost like $5,000. Is that how much they're selling?
No.
How much?
There's no real value in them. I mean, people pay $1,000.
$1,000.
From $1,000 to $20,000. Okay, I'll show you $20,000.
So and I've seen it, and so people are buying them as
and then they get rid of them,
and they think that it just like almost like a puppy on Christmas, and they think that it's going to be wonderful, right, Drew?
Yeah.
And then they get tired of them, but they don't know what to do.
Wow! Look how beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow! Let's see that again. We have to. Okay, hold on.
Switches back and forth. There he is. There he is. Hello, buddy.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
But this is my rarest bird right here, right? There, this guy, Simba. They only have them left in Costa Rica, that one. Anyways, but there's no value to them. Every rescue is overcrowded.
No, but what I'm saying is I'm just – because I've seen it happen with puppies, and I imagine it happens with birds, is the owners are just buying something they want for entertainment or whatever.
Exactly.
And they're in no way prepared for what it takes to be the owner of one of these birds.
Right.
So couldn't you
–
couldn't you form a company that – a company that educates them and teaches them how to care for the bird, or actually provides the services to care for the bird.
Interesting.
Now you're talking about an
how about getting a therapist and not a bird? Because a cage, they have wings. It's crazy.
It's a great idea.
Yeah,
get a puppy or therapist or a pacifier.
Well, the strange
the
one friend of mine that has one. He lives in a small apartment off of Hollywood and Normandy, but the bird goes everywhere with him, and the cage is always open. The bird goes into the cage, but yeah, I've never seen that bird fly. I don't think it can fly.
Okay. That's okay, but they're unnatural bonds, Bob. That's okay, but you know what I mean? It's not a natural bond to make them. Like that movie, Boxing Helena. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Boxing
with Madonna or something.
Or no, it was Kim Basinger was supposed to be it, but that it was a really beautiful actress, a brunette.
I forget.
And some doctor fell in love with her, stalked her, captured her, and then he amputated her limb by limb so she could never get away.
Jesus,
you never saw that movie?
No. Thanks, Heidi.
Her vision of humanity.
I know.
In the end, the girl says to him, "Please don't leave me. I love you because." Look what happened.
Oh,
that's
wow.
What you're doing. This is what we do to these birds. You do that to them, so you create this unnatural bond.
That's what we've done to the millennials.
The what?
That's the millennial thing.
Oh, yeah. Can't get away.
Cut their legs off and then say, please, I love you.
Heidi, let's be real. There is a bond between this guy and the bird that's like, it's his best friend. And the bird obviously doesn't have a point of reference. It thinks this human is its best friend. And they're just always together for 25 years. I've seen them. That's not a bad thing in this horrible world that you're describing. But I have a feeling that people don't know they don't know what to expect when they buy one of these birds. They really don't.
Yeah.
They are kind of a nightmare.
Did we lose Heidi?
Sorry, guys.
No, no problem.
No problem.
We're just talking about birds.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you heard, but my friend is best friends with his bird, and the bird is his best friend, and I know the bird doesn't have a reference of how to be best friends with birds because it was raised in captivity most of its life.
Yeah, of course.
So,
well,
but it's beautiful. But it's beautiful. It's
I know people like that too, and that's fine. That's fine. But for the next generation, they don't need to do that, though. Let him fly. Let him be a bird. Why are you making – it's like Boxing Helena. Why are you forcing this thing? Yeah, it's beautiful. They love each other, but the bird should be flying around and eating berries and you know, doing its thing. It shouldn't be just dependent on this guy.
So, Heidi, I want to come out and visit. I'm gonna go out to Vegas. Hey, were you a part? Do you have any friends who were at that shooting?
Wait, hold on.
What?
Hold on. We're gonna find out after the break. We're so pleased to welcome Hydrolite back to the program. Hydrolite is not only a product that I can safely recommend to you, it is something that I use, and Susan, my first lady of love, our producer, uses just about every day. And it is simply the best oral rehydration product I've ever tried, that I've ever seen. I wish I'd invented it myself, and there are many reasons you should keep some around. This is the time of year it is impossible to avoid getting sick, cold, flu, stomach bugs, and I think everyone knows we're in the middle of a big influenza season. They can knock you out, but staying hydrated, particularly if you get sick, is very important. Even if you manage to avoid these pathogens, your schedule is half as busy as mine. Getting in your 8 glasses of water a day isn't just going to happen. And if you're working out regularly, you definitely run the risk of getting a little dehydrated, and this keeps your volume up. The beauty of Hydrolyte, whether you're sick or not, you can absolutely benefit from the proper balance of sodium, glucose, and water. Hydrolyte does this better than sports drinks or water alone. I know you're used to using sports drinks. This is better. I'm telling you, as a physician, I can vouch for that. Hydrolyte comes in flavors like orange, berry, and lemonade, available in a premixed drink, a powder, or what I like, the effervescent tablet. You can simply drop in a bottle of water, and then you've got it. Compared to sports drinks, Hydrolyte delivers up to 4 times the electrolyte with 75% less sugar. Hydrolyte solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. You can find Hydrolyte at Rite Aid or online at Amazon. Also, for a limited time, our listeners can save 30% on Hydrolyte. Just click the banner on our website, drdrew.com. Use the code DRDREW18. That's DrDrew18 at checkout. And you will save 30% on Hydrolyte, and it's silly not to do it. That's Dr. Drew 18. We're back. We're with Heidi Fleiss, and you asked.
I want to say I want to come out and visit. I'm going to come out to Vegas with Elvis and my new daughter. And but do you know anybody that was out there at that concert? I'm sure
you
know everybody. You know everybody.
Yeah. That night I was visiting. I have a fancy friend who lives in the Veer Towers, which are those. You know, the fancy high rises in front of Aria right on the strip.
Yeah.
So I left her house and I'm started driving home and I'm like, what is all this traffic? What, you know, it was just weird. And then the next day I couldn't believe what had went on. How crazy. I love how the news reports and says there were no signs. Really? The guy has all these weapons and stockpiling and that's just so normal. There were no signs.
He wasn't from Pahrump. Where was he from? He was from out there somewhere.
Yeah, he was some, and I think closer to Carson City. Closer to.
But
he looked like he was from a nice, you know, he was a millionaire and whatnot. But someone who spends their life playing video poker and collecting guns, I think there are some signs.
Mistreating his wife too.
We need you in our society, Heidi, so that you can point those things out, not isolated away. Because that's exactly what I said.
In Hollywood, what? Do you cover that on your show all the time, huh?
The what?
All the sexual stuff in Hollywood.
You know.
Oh yeah.
What do you think of this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What do you think of all that?
Interesting.
But some of it I think is really taken out of context. Because look at. First of all, I'm sure they all really slept with Harvey. There's no, he just gave me this and I ran out the door. That's bullshit. And I'm sure it was, you sleep with me and I'll make you famous. Well, it looks like he did come through for a lot of people. I'm not defending him at all because.
Well,
no,
isn't it,
when
I think about the whole thing with Harvey, he was around when you were around. So you knew. What was going on? I always thought, and I know Drew frowns on this, but I thought you were trying to empower women in your own weird way against the Hollywood system. Is that not true or true?
Well, I think in reality, what I was doing is I know there was a supply demand that needed to be filled, and I knew how to market it, you know? And there are adults making adult decisions. Everyone wanted to do it. So it was nothing about forced into this or forced into that.
Heidi, tell the story about the madam you became infatuated with when you were a teenager.
Oh, that woman was weird.
Yeah, I know, but this is a great
madam
story.
Madam Alex, but she was interesting.
Tell the story. It's a great story.
She was a psychopath.
but just listen. Go ahead. Tell her how this happened.
When I first heard about Madam Alex from other girls and stuff.
Yeah.
Growing up?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, growing up in L.A., I'm from L.A., I know what's going on. I'm right in the thick of it. And I remember everyone would go to Jerry Buss's Ocotillo Lodge in Palm Springs.
The guy that he's died has been beatified like Reagan and Christ.
Beatified.
Jerry Buss. Yeah, beatified. Jerry Buss, who paid my friend's girlfriend $5,000 to undress and masturbate in front of him.
Oh, my God.
I love that.
Right?
I love that.
Right?
That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, but talk about the Madam Alex, because it was how you came upon her, what you saw. Tell the story.
Well, you know, I always heard about her. Then I remember I was with Bernie Kornfeld at the Beverly Center. He was the billionaire I dated. And there was a really beautiful girl, Drew. Then she had a ton of shopping bags. And Bernie says, oh, she works for Madam Alex. So then when I met, finally, someone brought me to meet Madam Alex. I couldn't believe that this
like, this was the woman. Bruce, have you ever seen her?
No.
It was this Russian woman.
She'll describe it. Let's describe her. Go ahead.
Hang on. I'm gonna go plug my phone in.
This is the controller, Bruce. This is the controller of all sex trafficking in Los Angeles, high in Los Angeles. Wait till she describes the woman.
Not a good role model.
She has a great way of describing her. It's just crazy. But it fascinated her.
But Madam Alex, here was this Filipino woman who was like balding in the middle. Who sat in her bed on her muumuu, sniffing her cocaine with her fingers out of an envelope.
With the fingernails.
Oh.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And then she would touch her hair so she had that white stripe like a skunk.
Oh, wow. And why were you not repelled? Why did you find that fascinating?
She had a dial-up phone on her bed.
Why did you find that?
I walked in and Barbara Streisand was on the couch one day. How could I not? You know? Come on, Brenda Vaccaro is sitting in there. Faye Dunaway. How could I? David Niven. How could the LAPD that was sitting in there? How could I not find it fascinating?
And so, what did you do?
Ripped her off and became her.
No. But she sat and studied.
She was going a little crazy at the time, and she definitely needed help. She had been arrested, I think, 13 times, and she had just gotten out of jail, and she kind of needed help pulling the reins back in. So I helped her with her airline tickets, helped her. I brought in a lot of beautiful girls because I was dating an older rich guy, and I would bring all these girls to France with us or London, wherever we went. I brought in a lot of beautiful friends, and I learned a lot. But yeah, I mean, her big clients were, Don Simpson was one of them. And even when we separated our ways, I remember she called me up. I need help. It's an emergency. Two girls stole Don Simpson some fancy bathrobes, and Don Simpson wanted to put the girls in jail for it. You know?
So, irony. Jeez.
So let me ask you this, Heidi. I want to get to this point of your vision of what you did, because I know you've never written a book. When are you going to write a book?
I'm still writing.
No, you're just waiting for everybody to die. That's what
I'm still writing. I'll never write the book. To me, all that stuff, what I'm doing with the birds, that's what matters in life.
No, but a way to promote
that. Silly.
Look, you need, I think at the Me Too time in the world, need
to
know why you did what you did.
I wrote a Me Too about my birds. I was forced to live in a cage with someone I didn't like. I was raped every day. I screamed for help. And you blew cigarette smoke in my face. I wrote with Me Too.
Well, listen, but somehow I just always felt like you were trying to teach power and a lesson. Is that not what you were trying to do?
Well, actually, look, a woman should be in control. If she wants an abortion, it should be fine. If she wants to sleep with someone and get paid for it, that should be fine. It shouldn't be a man saying, oh no, you have to give it to us for free. You know, these laws are archaic. These laws are written so long ago, all of them, for when it was a bunch of white rich men running things, whereas
different
women
than now.
Blacks were slaves, Jews were just demolished. So you can't have all these laws. They're not going to, that's why our society is changing with Bitcoin, it's taking the power away from conglomerations. Everything will start changing over the next 5 years. This is going to be a big transformation for a country.
So what is your take? What is your take on the Me Too
movement? Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, what is your take on
Me Too? What is your take on it?
No one should ever be forced or raped or in situ ever. No woman should ever do that. But if you make a deal with Harvey that he says, okay, sleep with me and I'm going to give you this role, you get the part and you get 6 Academy Awards or whatever, and then bitch afterwards? That's not cool.
I thought that would be your take. Isn't it more complicated than that, though?
How's that?
You know what? Because every situation has to be in context.
It's resentment towards Harvey being in charge.
Right, it's a power thing.
It's a power thing. And I think that's what Heidi was trying to do. She saw this wacky world where Madam Alex wasn't treating the girls the way Heidi treated them.
No, she did not treat them like
I was there, Drew. I saw it.
Yeah, the women were. I tell the girls, you can leave. You never, ever have to do anything you don't want to do, ever. And, this is... It was for fun.
She was more like, here's what I think. Madam Alex was a madam, was a pimp. Heidi was ICM. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Let me tell you what, this is what kind of stuff Madam Alex would do. Her cocaine dealer. She'd get a new cocaine dealer. She'd buy, say, I don't know, $1,500 the first time. Then he'd bring it over the next 8 times to her. I get you next time. So the 9th time the guy would say, hey, can I get paid? She'd go, yeah, of course, come tomorrow. And then she'd have him arrested when he left. That's the stuff she did.
Wow.
But
that's she was crazy. She did things like that, you know?
I still don't know what you're saying about Me Too. I still don't get it. It's a good thing, right? That women are...
Okay, no, the Me Too, well, look it. It's every situation has to be taken in context. If, like, Brett Ratner held some woman... It locked her in the house and whatever, beat off on her and did all these things and wouldn't let her leave. That's not cool. You cannot do that.
How is it different, though, than if somebody has a power over someone from an employment standpoint, or at least they're risking their employment because there's a power imbalance, and then they can't really consent to anything because they're clouded by that circumstance?
There's also the person still out there that can't say anything because she can't lose that job because she has to feed her kid.
Right. So that's what I'm saying.
There's a lot more to this. Like the woman who came out with the consensual sex with Matt Lauer, she was a beautiful news anchor.
Yeah.
And she told about her consensual relationship.
Yeah.
She made a lot of sense to the power imbalance and how afterwards she felt, just kind of used and creepy.
Yeah, there wasn't consent because he's in a position of authority over her. And then you can't let her consent any more than a student can consent to a teacher or a patient to a doctor.
But no, it's crazy. All the women out there who would have loved to have been sexually abused by Matt Lauer, you know?
Oh, my God.
Well, but...
And I don't want to make fun of it. I mean, absolutely, Donna Karen. No woman should ever buy anything of hers, ever. Absolutely.
Well, why say... But, ooh, she was kind of saying some of the same things you're saying.
No, not at all. Not at all. All I'm saying is, look it. Being an actress in Hollywood is so hard. And if you made a deal and he came through and delivered, and then you're going to bitch about it, otherwise you would still be going on auditions. That's not cool. But, yeah, okay.
Wasn't that what Donna Karen said?
No, Donna Karen said that they should dress
appropriately.
Women
are asking for it by the way they dress.
Well, she wants to sell her big bag dresses to everybody.
Yeah, same women. She said women are asking for it. That no woman that I'm wearing this short, so I'm asking to get raped today. That's nonsense. You know, that's disgusting. So
there's nobody that really believes that, do they? There's
she did, and she can't. There's no comeback from that remark.
Okay,
she made.
You keep focusing on the Harvey stuff. There's been a lot more than the Harvey stuff. What about the Louis C.K.?
Brett Ratner,
What's your take on Louis C.K.'s thing?
I think it's awesome how he handled it and said, "I did these things."
Yeah, but he lost all his work. He's gone. He cannot work now.
But look it. He came forward. He can work through it. He should call it victims. He should try and explain himself. He should give all his money to a fund to help him. He should try and work through what he did. But look at this, better than saying, I did nothing wrong. Those are the people like Bill Cosby. He's a necrophiliac. He should be in jail. You know?
I knew if we got Heidi talking about this, we'd get all the best stuff. So let me ask you this. On the Russell Simmons thing, which I just found jaw-dropping. No, the right? Did you read it?
Yeah, Brett Ratner, masturbating on girls or something?
No, wait. In his public, counseled apology statement, he admitted to statutory rape. Mm. Did you see
that? Oh, I didn't see that part.
It was unbelievable. Listen, he's saying that I had consensual sex with this, and he was lost the fact that she was 17 years old.
With my best friend's 12-year-old, you know?
It was crazy. So we're living in crazy times, and we need to hear it from Heidi Fleiss. What will happen now? What's going to happen from all this?
Well, I think that, that men won't be beating off on women. But also, you know what? The thing with Russell Simmons, he's probably used to so many girls bringing him a DVD or CD and, you know, thinking he's going to do something. And then afterwards, he doesn't do anything. And the cum on her face was then a problem, you know?
So do you think nothing's going to change or everything's going to change? Because you go back and
forth. I think a lot is changing. I think a lot should change. But I also think things are unfair. Like the Anthony Rapp who said, Kevin Spacey rolled around on a bed with me, fully clothed. How is that? Like, women are digitally penetrated and ejaculated on. And you're fully clothed and rolled on a bed for a minute. And that is really, that was traumatizing? Yeah. I don't understand that.
Or what happened to Garrison Keillor? He touched somebody in the back during a picture.
Or Al Franken, some of those.
Or Al Franken.
Or like George Bush in the wheelchair, where he's like Oswald, you know what I mean? And Parkinson's and his hands.
I love Heidi. Heidi knows everything that's going on.
They were finger banged or something, you know?
From Pahrump, Nevada, Heidi Fleiss, living with a bunch of birds, knows everything that's going on in the world. That's what I love about her forever and ever.
What I know you have disdain for humanity. Do you have special disdain for men?
No, I actually love men. I do.
And so you,
and I love, I admire and respect so many people. And there are good people out there.
Well, that's what I think I know about you. That's why I was surprised when you said, hey, man, he's a waste. I think you were being hyperbolic about the waste.
Yeah, I was being extreme. But there are good people out there. It's just my battle, you know, like I said, if I heard someone was trying to help captive macaws, I would think that they're some kook or a nut job. There's just a lot more to what I'm doing. It's so lonely. It's so hard. And because it's not a human, it's really hard to make progress. But I'm making progress. My friend Dennis Hoff is running in Nevada for assembly and hopefully should win. And another Republican, Michelle Fiore, she's big out here. She'll probably be vice president one day. She's a big animal lover. And she's going to introduce some legislation to help the birds. So
let me ask you this. Are the birds something, and we went through this years ago. So I'm willing, you know, I got a treatment center in Malibu. I'll have you come there and get off drugs for free. I don't care if you'll come. But we always hit this obstacle is what do we do with the birds?
I have hope with my birds. However... But getting free in the getting clean in the treatment center.
Oh, I knew you'd have some fucking backup.
No, that's easy. That's easy for me. Like when Stay we did clean. The show, it's easy when you guys are there and doing it.
Yeah.
It's when you leave that atmosphere.
At least come.
What's that?
She's right.
At least come for a month.
Yeah, I will come. I will come. The girl that had my Bitcoins took some. So I have litigation with the New York District Attorney right now. As soon as that's resolved, my plan is to get clean.
All right, then you come with me.
I was going to try and bribe Luisa for whatever she wanted.
Oh, Luisa would be great.
$25,000 a month. That's I don't good. Care.
Luisa
that's
would be
not a
great.
Bad idea.
She's the best.
But Heidi, every time I talk to you, I have the same experience, which is we got to corral that passion and brilliance for good.
No, but we got to get her off meds.
Got to get off meds. Got to get off drugs. And we need you on the team.
Resolve the Bitcoin thing. I'm going to keep in touch with you. I'm going to get your phone number. We'll text and stuff. I'm coming out to Vegas. You come to my place to detox and stabilize. Go to Luisa's place for hanging out and be with Luisa. It's all.
Well, I would pay her whatever it would take, $20,000, whatever per month to just stay with me so I can function in my own environment on a clean.
All right, let's figure it out. We're going to figure it out.
Okay.
We've talked about it over the years, doing something like that, but we got to do something.
Well, I never had finances to do it. Now I do. That makes a big difference.
Heidi, as always, we wish you only the best.
The best.
It's
really the best.
Yeah, it's always fun to talk to her.
Best.
And I walk away with the same feeling. Bruce, you understand what I'm talking about? Don't you feel like she'd make a great professional? You know what I mean? If we corralled all that, used it for good,
it'd be
so useful.
Maybe Heidi.
The birds.
I know.
I help the birds.
I know.
Heidi is that. I don't know.
How can we help the birds?
Yeah, what can people do? What do you want them to do?
It's just spreading the word that you look at. If you woke up every day and there was a cage in your house, would you feel comfortable with that?
If I had a bird in a cage?
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
No.
I would hate that.
No.
Or just, it's just weird that something that should be flying is in a cage. But society is just, they don't realize it. For instance, when I was arrested at my house for growing marijuana illegally.
When was that?
When the officers came to my property, like 20 of them, they're like, oh my God, these birds are free. They're freaked out. They should be freaked out going, oh my God, the birds are caged.
Yeah.
It's just rewinding this thinking. It's just change it to get people to understand they don't belong to caging them is wrong. And Drew and Susan and Bob and Bruce, they hurt just like us. They get happy us. Their emotions are the same as ours. They really are.
Their personalities are. That one that runs around biting at everybody, is that guy still around there?
Oh, it's pain. They're all a pain.
No, there's one that really bit me a couple times.
Right now, four of my birds are off a few miles away exploring. Last week, some woman decided she didn't like the way that I kept my birds outside and captured one of them.
Oof.
Oh, I bet you that didn't go over well for her.
And I just returned from Los Angeles and found out my bird wasn't home.
Uh-oh.
I went nuts. I put immediately $5,000 flyer immediately for him. I amassed a small army through Walmart, social media, and I got my bird back by 9 p.m. at night.
He flies Walmart
and
is what
I'm saying. We need to use this for good. You understand? We need to use this energy for good.
It's Walmart. Walmart is the center of Pahrump, is it not?
pretty much, you know. I had a call. I got the self-checkout and returns all handled. The posters and the reward, because people rat out their mother for $100. So I got $5,000 right away. You know, and I wanted to give the money to someone because it was worth the relief.
Heidi, well,
have you been to Pahrump, Drew?
No, I've never been to Pahrump.
My uncle lived there right near where she lives.
Of course.
It's a hell of a town, yeah. Pahrump.
I want to have her back again.
The Kardashian guy overdosed, you know, for the...
That was at your place,
did you
right?
Did you help him, Drew?
I did not help him, but I have spoken to people that
Heidi,
have.
Heidi, that was at the place that you took me to way out in the middle of fucking nowhere, right?
Yeah, the OD there.
So, it was crazy. I told you it was that place.
I knew it, yeah. So, Susan, you would
tell...
Isn't
that weird, Bob? Isn't it crazy
that
people actually go there?
Yeah, why would he end up out there? It's so weird.
I have a classmate that bought a house to retire there, and he's as straight-laced as can be, and I've told people I'm supposed to go out there and visit.
And Pahrump?
Pahrump? What are you doing?
Does he go to that facility?
Well, people go, like, when I first investigated brothels here, big companies pursued me. Like, have you heard of Celestial Seasons Teas?
Yes.
They asked me to run a brothel for them. So I came out here with them to run a brothel.
Insane.
Would they sponsor a podcast?
I thought, I looked at it like, no one's coming out here to get laid. This is insanity.
But Heidi, this is why you get this disdainful view towards humans. You get to see them at their worst.
The
you get to see them the rest of us.
Yeah, I do, Drew. Yeah. You're actually right.
So, Drew,
Heidi,
you know the Pahrump,
the
Pahrump Country Club. We had the Forrest family reunion there about 25 years ago at the Pahrump Country Club. All my uncles just sat at slot machines, just smoking cigarettes and playing slot machines. It was the saddest thing you ever seen in your life.
I'm telling you, out here, it's Velveeta cheese and Wonder Bread. There's no, the architecture is a manufactured home.
And that's where you chose to live. Wow. You've got $4 million in bitcoins, and that's where you're living.
No. I was really high at the time, obviously. Because I didn't realize, whatever, in 2006 or 7 when I bought out here, that I could have bought an $800,000 house in L.A. or something and brought my birds there. I could have bought it right outside of L.A. I didn't have to move here, but I just wasn't thinking clearly then.
Well, Heidi Fleiss, the lady of Pahrump.
Susan, you want to invite her back right now?
Yeah, we want you to come back, but we're going to get you a better mic.
Yeah, we got to get a mic. All right, I love Nate you. I'm going to get your phone number.
Nice talking to you guys.
Okay, Heidi, talk soon.
And I would do celebrity rehab for free, okay?
Visit us out here when you're out here, all right?
All right.
Okay.
All right, we'll see
nice
you.
Nice talking.
Okay, bye.
She's the best. Oh, I have her number. There it is.
All right. And we'll say goodbye to everybody as well. I remind everyone to check out DrDrew.com, the family of podcasts there, including is Heidi still with us?
Parrotsfirst.org
is where you go to find out more about what you can do to support Heidi's cause. I assume we'll have on the episode page, we'll have that link. Also, remind everybody to... Where's the information? There we are. The Dr. Drew podcast, the Adam and Drew podcast, This Life, Weekly Infusion. It's all there at drdrew.com. And keep an eye out for a new health and fitness show with Mike Catherwood. Of course, don't forget our Facebook page and our friends at Hydrolite and our friends at the Last Stop. What's it called? The Last,
the last house.
Which we like. That
Rehab.
Place. Yeah, we like that place. And we'll see you all next time.
Remember, you can find all these podcasts at drdrew.com. The Dr. Drew podcast, the This Life podcast, and the Adam and Drew podcast, which is available 5 days a week. Find them all on iTunes and rate us 5 stars. Subscribe and get it first. And if you're really happy, click on the Amazon banner at drdrew.com to help support the show. We'll thank you for it. If you join the email list via drdrew.com/contact, we'll send you a weekly infusion newsletter with Dr. Drew's news. We're so grateful when you get in touch. We read all your emails and we'll bring you the subject matter you want to hear about.
You live.